Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start off your Thursday right here on B&E. It's a show of the people, buck ons and buck offs. That's how we do it. Your chance to let somebody have it. Who needs a buck off? Is it Ed Orgeron for his act? Not even lasting 21 months after a national championship at LSU. Also, buck off to the Longhorns. Back-to-back fourth quarter collapses have them in a precarious spot in the Big 12. We'll talk plenty of Texas football even in the bye week. Also, buck ons to the Cowboys sitting at the top of the NFC East, maybe the best team in the NFL right now, not named the Arizona Cardinals. Also, the buck on to the Astros and Braves now went away from the World Series. We'll get your headlines here coming up.
Yeah, buck on to the folks in your prayers, too. I appreciate that very much. And to that medical staff over at Lake Travis and the doctors and Kevin Lewis that I've been seeing that that are making sure that I do make some of the changes that I have to make. And I think we all get to a part in life where you think you've got it going on, and you don't. There's help that you need, and when people make suggestions to you about whether it's your diet or certain parts of your life and stress that you have to get away from, that you'll take heed to some of the thoughts of people that have experience that go to school for that reason and spend years in medical school to tell you about those things. And you have to take that kind of stuff serious when they talk about it. It's not your life is not a joke. There are people that depend on you being around and care about you being around. And I appreciate everybody that was involved, especially the crazy ass Mark Honig himself. So I do appreciate him being there on Friday night, a week from tomorrow. He was there and didn't leave me alone. Didn't say that, hey, you'll be all right. You're in good hands. He made sure that he stayed with me to the bitter end until 1 o'clock in the morning before he went home to his family. They were probably worried about him. So I appreciate that a lot. And your prayers. And folks, I see those every morning here. So, and bless those doctors and just training staff that knew when I told them what was going on, that they took heed in what I was saying to them. So they didn't take it that, well, he doesn't know what's really going on with him. We need to get him to a doctor. When I told them some of the things that were happening, they knew exactly what that meant and what was happening. So I appreciate it.
No question. No doubt about that. Medical pros out there helping folks. That's what they do.
There's some real live pros out there. Yes.
No question. Buck ons and buck offs throughout the course of the morning. Glad you're back after your day out yesterday. Isaiah Collier is here as well. He'll lead us through the hot or not topics before the end of this hour. Let's pay off your B&E fact of the day ahead of the headlines. I mentioned Appalachian State got a win last night. They upset Coastal Carolina in a midweek Sun Belt matchup. Coastal had been undefeated and number 14 in the poll. The Chanticleers and App State beat them 30-27 last night.
That was in Boone, huh?
That was in Boone, North Carolina, for the Mountaineers. That's their second all-time win over an AP top 20 team. The first being, I think we'll remember this,
Michael Hartnett gang,
the fifth-ranked Michigan Wolverines back on September 1st of 2007, and that's back when Appalachian State was an FCS program.
Mm-hmm.
They've moved up to the next level and are actually playing at a very high level there. But yeah, they beat Michigan. Remember, that was one of the most stunning upsets of this.
Block punt, correct?
Oh man, that was a well regarded Michigan team too back in 2007, and they upset them. I mean, that's as embarrassing. It's an FCS team beating Michigan in Ann Arbor.
In Michigan, the fans of Michigan are still embarrassed by that
loss.
Yes,
that's.
Undefeated Michigan, by the way.
That's like the Texas fans who still remember that Rice game that you were a part of back in.
Yeah, they will never forget that.
We lost to Rice? What?
Yeah.
Rice?
On ESPN Sunday night? Yes, we did.
And Michigan will always know they lost to App State in 07. So, yes. That's your B&E fact of the day. Let's get to the headlines, the trending topics, news you need to know as you get up and out on your Thursday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you. We'll start with the baseball. And yeah, two teams now. A win away from the World Series in both the AL and the NLCS. Astros On a team of seasoned veterans, it was a couple of emerging stars who stepped up for Houston in Game 5 of the ALCS yesterday in Boston. Framber Valdez and Yordan Alvarez, the central figures in a dominant 9-1 win for Houston in Game 5. Valdez provided a dominant start, which they needed. Left-hander retired the first 12 batters he faced, 12 up, 12 down, took a two-hit shutout into the seventh, and became the first pitcher this postseason for any team to finish 8 full innings. As the Astros get the win, Alvarez, meanwhile, provided the offense. 24-year-old slugger belted a solo homer in the second off of Chris Sale. Also had a pair of doubles, drove in 3. Houston now went away from another trip to the World Series. That series just back to Houston for Game 6 on Friday night at Minute Maid Park. In L.A. last night, the Atlanta Braves shook off that blown lead and loss in Game 3 against the L.A. Dodgers. They turn around and wallop the Dodgers with 4 home runs in a 9-2 win last night. Adam Duvall, Freddie Freeman hit long balls. And how about the red-hot Eddie Rosario had 2 home runs as part of a 4-hit night. That's his second 4-hit night of the series. Braves take a 3-1 lead in the best of 7 series. Game 5 tonight in L.A. NFL Week 7 opens tonight in Cleveland. They beat up Browns. Will host the Denver Broncos. Both teams are 3-3. Case Keenum will make the start for Cleveland. The injured Baker Mayfield out with that injured left shoulder. Browns will also be without both of their top running backs, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Also, Odell Beckham Jr., their receiver, also questionable tonight. In MLS soccer, another loss for Austin FC at Q2 Stadium last night. Or actually, this game was out in San Jose. After a scoreless first half, the Oaks gave up 4 second-half goals to the San Jose Earthquakes, and they lose that ball game. One note out of the NFL, a report yesterday from the Houston Chronicle reporting that the Deshaun Watson trade to the Miami Dolphins was possibly imminent by Friday. Later in the evening, TheAthletic.com reported that this trade does not appear imminent, but there's still talks going on between the Houston Texans and the Miami Dolphins. We'll keep you posted on that. The NFL trade deadline is in 2 weeks.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
I don't know whether to buck on or off Bob Bowlesby and his personal betrayal of Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12. I don't, trying to figure out what is it personally. Did they tell you things? Did they shake your hand? They sit in a meeting with you and their presidents told you that this was not going to happen? But it seems like he's taking this. He said this is a personal betrayal. So
yeah, well, Big 12 basketball media days were this week, and so Bob Bowlesby was on hand. We typically go live for the football media days in July, but basketball taking center stage. And yes, I mean, Bob Bowlesby was pretty candid, told Brian Davis, our friend from the Austin American Statesman, that, you know, he's got to put emotions aside, but did consider it a personal betrayal of with Oklahoma and Texas. Well, yeah, I mean, they're a conference, and you know, you can understand that. They have meetings, you know, several times a year, get together as programs and presidents and leaders of the schools, and it's kind of an all-for-one, one-for-all mentality. Mm. And then, you know, lo and behold, two of them were working behind the scenes to move on and move out. And they had to keep it quiet, and they did. And so when the news hit, obviously came as a shock to Bob Bowlesby and the other members of the conference. But we've talked about, you know, why the reasons Oklahoma and Texas are making the move that they're making. But at the same time, I think you can understand, as the commissioner caught off guard, asleep at the wheel, whatever you want to say,
yeah,
you could see that would...
Yeah,
how did
you not know what was going on? You better get yourself some spies or something that are in the in crowd with Oklahoma and Texas. You should have been in on that somehow, some way, but you weren't. They left you totally out there. And now you're upset because now you're taking it personal. Don't take it personal.
Well, I mean, I think in any relationship, if there's things happening behind the scenes that you're unaware of and they catch you off guard, it's going to affect you personally. I think that would be a natural reaction. But at the same time, you know, the reaction of the conference and him have been to, let's add 4 new schools, let's make our plan for the future, which they've done. Remember, they fended off the whole ESPN American Athletic Conference thing, which immediately hit, and the Big 12 is going to add 4 new schools, and we'll see what happens with the timeline for Texas and Oklahoma getting out. But, yeah, that emerged again yesterday at Big 12 basketball media days, where, by the way, the Longhorns were picked to finish 2nd in the conference.
Ooh.
Behind Kansas.
I saw that yesterday, yeah. It's going to be interesting. You know, a lot of...
And don't forget that team up north, that team right up 35, they're the defending national champions at Baylor.
I bet you they have some transfers that are pretty good.
So, college basketball. Remember, tonight out at Pluckers Wing Bar right downtown, the location on campus, And that's where they're going to record the or have the show Longhorn Weekly. Normally it's with Steve Sarkisian, but during the Longhorn bye week, Chris Beard going to jump in there. Our friend Chris, will head coach, will jump in on Longhorn Weekly. Fans and especially students encouraged to come on out to be part of that live audience tonight. That is 7 to 8 at Plucker's Wing Bar. If you want to go out and say hi to Chris Beard and hear that show, you'll hear it live right here on the Horn at 7 o'clock tonight. It is Longhorn Weekly this week with Chris Beard.
Yeah, and who's talking about me and talking about the demise of the Dallas Cowboys? Call me Stephen A. Smith Godbolt. I'm not talking about the demise of the Cowboys. We knew the Cowboys were going to be pretty doggone good this year. We could see that. Now, we talked about the coach. The coach's still going to lose them a game here or there, but unless you're expecting them not to lose another game for the rest of the season. Cowboys are playing just fine. We never say anything about that. We've been pumping up the Cowboys here.
I didn't see that text. Somebody criticizing you, Stephen A. Smith Godbolt?
Yeah, come on.
No,
we talked about the coach, and the coach is going to be the thing that will hold them back.
Well, I think the conversation of the offseason was, you know, because Mike McCarthy's first year was a wholesale failure, right?
Absolutely.
I know going into the 2020 year, even through the COVID situation, I looked at it and thought that the Cowboys roster was as talented as any roster I've seen them have. The best roster in the division, and they, you know, went 6-10 and were a pretty bad football team. Injuries were a part of that, but, you know, bad coaching was a part of that too.
Buck on to Kellen Moore.
So I think it was a fair conversation through this offseason of, you know, can Mike McCarthy right the ship? Can Mike McCarthy make the necessary changes? The
hiring, especially on the defensive side.
Yeah, and the hiring of Dan Quinn and new staff members on that side of the ball has been huge. And then they, you know, credit to the Cowboys, the draft of last April was fruitful. I mean, they drafted 8 of 11 defensive players. They drafted Micah Parsons, who's come in and been an immediate impact player. He and Trevon Diggs have become, you know, he was their pick the draft previous. Those guys have become stars.
Already.
Yeah, Cowboys are right there with anybody in pro football. In my opinion, Arizona Cardinals are the only undefeated team at 6-0. And by the way, they're going to be 7-0 because Arizona's playing the Texans this week. Well, the Cowboys don't play. They're enjoying their bye week. But no, I don't think it was unfair to wonder and question aloud what the Cowboys would be. I mean, there was no debate that they have the most talented team in the division and one of the more talented rosters. But the questions of Dak Prescott's health were, you know, coming off a foot major injury. Plus, they shut him down in the spring or in training camp because of the shoulder problem. Obviously, that, you know,
those are Zeke Elliott, how was he going to come back?
Yeah, well, and the
offensive line.
The one Cowboys narrative throughout the entire offseason that has proven to be right on point was they were a team with a chip on their shoulder. They were, you know,
that hurt them last year.
Yeah, the buy-in that they had from the entire roster, right, playing for one another, the idea of coming back and trying to make up for the embarrassment of the 2020 year. That was for real. And, you know, when you saw the stories and you heard the stories and Zeke Elliott's the first guy in and the last guy out and he's leading the mini camps and the player buy-in is through the roof with this team and Mike McCarthy, you heard it. You wanted to believe it if you're a fan, but you needed to see it. And, boy, the first 6 weeks it has been all, you know, as Steve Sarkisian would say, all gas, no brakes for the Dallas Cowboys because they're playing a high brand of football right now. And it is a team that is playing with a bit of a chip on its shoulder. They attack people in all phases. And right now, as I mentioned yesterday, Buck, this is, you know, they're on pace to be the most dominant offense of all time. The Cowboys are, and that's not hyperbole, the Cowboys are averaging 460 total yards per game. No team in NFL history has ever averaged that many yards per game for an entire season. Now, can they keep it up? You know, I mean, we're talking about not the greatest show on turf, not the 08 Patriots, you know, the great Bronco team.
The Rams.
No one has ever averaged as many yards per game as the Cowboys are averaging. They're averaging over 460 yards. They're on pace for, gosh, over 7,500 yards for the season in a 17-game season. It's crazy how productive they've been offensively, and they're a handful. And if that defense continues to be opportunistic, you know, my walk to Dallas, I'm starting my regimen.
Uh-oh, you starting to get ready?
Yeah, I mentioned yesterday that I need to get with our man Commander Burgoyne out at Fort Hood, help me with some military training to be able to walk the 188 miles to Arlington.
It's going
to
be right, left, right, left, right, left, left,
you know,
right.
You know, they do that training every morning, right?
Yes.
You saw them out there at 6:30?
Yes.
I need to start doing that. I got to do every day. I can't just, because I don't know that they're going to win the Super Bowl, but that's been a 22-year promise for me on this show. And
but you can feel it.
But I can't, like, just wing it.
No.
Because they could.
The way they're playing right now, yes, they could.
They could, and they are certainly in that conversation. But that Arizona team's pretty good too. That Buccaneers team.
And the Rams, yeah. There's still some other teams that are playing pretty well right now.
I thought coming into the season that the AFC was the dominant conference. Well, so far, the NFC with the Cowboys' emergence, the Cardinals as the only 6-0 team. And remember, the Cardinals also own wins over the Rams and the Browns on the road. I mean, those are impressive wins. Cowboys' most impressive win is at the Chargers. I think that's fair to say.
And the more we look at Tampa Bay is, when can they get some healthy guys in the secondary, you know?
That's right.
They need that desperately back there, or they're going to rely on Tom Brady to win every game for them on end.
Well, the other
their defense is really struggling in Tampa Bay.
Well, teams have just decided we're not going to try to run.
No, why
that,
should we?
That run defense. We'll just throw. Yeah. We'll just, taking a page from the Cowboys week one book. Of,
right.
Why mess with even trying to run into that wall? Let's just go ahead and throw it all over a weak secondary. That's been the recipe. But they're still 5-1 in Tampa. And the thing the Buccaneers are better at this year, I think, is they've dedicated themselves to handing the ball to Leonard Fournette. And they'll run the ball. And Fournette has kind of found his great home there behind Tom Brady in that backfield. So they run the ball better, which shortens games and then helps their defense stay off the field. And then there's Green Bay. You always want to dismiss the Packers, but they're 5-1 too.
I just dismissed that defense.
They also were in a very winnable division. Minnesota's not much of a threat. Detroit's terrible, and the Bears are the Bears. So Cowboys and Packers have the luxury of being in divisions that are easily winnable, for sure. Meanwhile, the Cardinals got to be in a division with the Rams and the Seahawks and the 49ers. Buccaneers are in there with...
You still feel like the Cardinals are in it for the long haul?
I do. I mean, from what I've seen through six games, I mean, can Kyler Murray stay healthy? Can Kyler Murray, they were off to a good start a year ago, and he suffered some injuries.
Late in the season, yeah, about the last four or five games, they've really struggled without him.
But the thing for the Cardinals, much like the Cowboys, their defense is so much better. I mean, their defense is for real. What I saw them do to the Rams in L.A., to the Browns in Cleveland, as far as just suffocating out good offenses, you got to believe in what they're doing with Vance Joseph on the defensive side of the ball. J.J. Watt's been a great addition to the defense. Your guy, the linebacker, Zaven Collins, the rookie, has become a fixture in that defense. Really like what they're doing.
Cowboys to get Michael Gallup back.
They will, and Lael Collins, and Neville Gallimore will be back for the Cowboys on the D-line. And the Cowboys are going to be bringing reinforcements to a very
good
football team.
You're right.
Hey, let's dive into our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations, avconsultations.com. Tom McKay and his great team, 31 years here in Austin for all of your audio.
You can deck the halls with an 85-inch screen TV. How about that? For the holidays.
We've got to brag about that big 85-incher you're sporting.
It's a beauty.
It's a beauty.
It's great, especially for college football, NFL football on Sundays.
It'd be good to watch F1.
Yeah, that's hard on TV. That's not...
Well, I love the scenery with the drones and the aerial footage from COTA. That'll be this weekend, and the weather looks good. But, Buck, let me ask you this on the coaching side of things for Steve Sarkisian. Yesterday, we talked to Dan Neal, the lifetime Longhorn, and to Quan Cosby, and we talked about, as former players, what's the mindset that this team needs to finish games? And it was interesting that Quan actually went to a baseball analogy, because we were talking yesterday about the clutch performances of Jose Altuve and Cody Bellinger, and that's what Quan said. Quan said, these guys have to want the moment. These guys have to want, the players do. The coaches can say what they want, and we know they're coaching. Both Dan and Quan were happy with what they're seeing from the coaching staff so far. They're disappointed with the outcomes. But it was Quan who said, look, these guys have to – this is a problem at Texas. We need guys who want to finish games, who want to be in – pressure breaks pipes, Quan said. How do you go about getting these guys' confidence up that they can handle those situations and they don't crumble in the key moments of football games? That becomes –
It's still about that practice. It's about that part of the practice late in the day. When you're tired and when you're ready to go home and where you're ready to go to study hall and or go to dinner or whatever you have to do, or when they practice in the morning. It's at the end of practice what you do, how you handle that.
Yeah, and again, there are some people who relish the idea of being in the moment. And handling.
There are some people just want to get out of there.
Yeah,
do you know
fight
what I'm
or
saying?
Flight, man.
Yeah, they really do. They're like, well, it's going downhill. Okay, it'll soon be over with. You know what I'm saying? People will think, I'm that prize fighter. I'm hanging in there being punched, but soon that guy's going to hit me with a shot that's going to knock me out. It's not about fighting. It's about getting it over with. This team has to not want to get it over with. They want to. They need to still be in the fight. They just haven't had enough success in being in the fight. They've been down there so used to losing in the fourth quarter and laying it down. That's just a part of it. You got to learn how to win in the fourth quarter. And as I said, you got to learn how to have that lead and what to do with that lead. it does have to be all gas. Fourth quarter has to be all gas, too, and not hold on.
Yeah.
They seem to just want to hold on. They don't want to accelerate what they're doing. They just want the process to be over. I mean, don't want the process to be over. You know, make the process over for the other team.
It's almost like
make them be the ones who want to give in.
Yeah, at some level, it feels like when we've glossed at the Longhorn Country Club mentality, right?
Yes.
The country club, and it's got to be coached out of this this program. That, you know, again, think about it with this Texas team this year. Remove the Arkansas game, but when things are going good, all three phases are playing great, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're in unison. They're in lockstep. It's offense, defense. Special teams are playing great. I mean, think about the 70 points against Texas Tech. I mean, it was just a tremendous example of complementary football. But when adversity strikes, this team, all three phases fall apart.
Yeah, I still just don't understand how you can be all gas and no breaks, but your defense plays passive, and then they're aggressive early in games. They get some sacks. Where's that same ferociousness late in a football game? And when you think of, you know, giving up, you know, we only give up this, we only give up that, but when you give up a run to a guy who is making everybody miss and you're missing tackles, that it all matters. I mean, every play, I don't know if they know how to play every down. Every play matters in the fourth quarter.
Well, that's why I say it's a mentality within the program that has to be coached out.
Because, sure.
Because, again, when they're playing well, all three phases, everyone's playing well. Then when it goes bad.
Nobody wants to hear the word front runner.
But
nobody wants to be known as front runner. They
hate
that.
That's what they are right now.
Well, yeah.
When all is good, all is good.
That's one of the worst things to say to a team is you're front runners. But you play like it.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
it's nobody's telling a lie.
Well, think about it. I mean, when things go bad, it all goes bad. There's not – it doesn't just like, well, the offense goes bad and the defense rises up and picks up the defense or vice versa. It really has been this year in seven games. It's either all been good or it's all been terrible.
Right.
There's no in-between for Texas, which is hard to put your finger on. It does
feel
like it's a mentality.
If you're the defense and you're not, you know, you're not got the gas on in the fourth quarter – well, then if you're the offense and you had 17 plays, you can't be having a bunch of three and outs.
No.
You can't do that to them. Somebody has to pick up the gas,
yeah,
you know, and fill up the tank. That tank can't stay the same. If you're all gas, that means for everybody. That means for the offense too. That means for the head coach of calling plays. You've got to call something that's going to hurt that defense. And you can say, well, we practice this one or we practice that one. I mean, Sark came here as an innovative play caller. Okay, in the fourth quarter, when your team gets four series and you're three and outs, that's not innovative to me. Innovative is to have that tight end go up the guts or go out to the flat, and there he is sitting alone like you did at Alabama. That's what innovative play calling is to me. You know, when you most need it, where is it? You know, you can't let it just continue to go downhill. Or for PK, when you've got this bend but don't break defense, okay, that's fine, but all those plays are mounting up, and then your team looks fatigued in the fourth. Why are you fatigued? It's not hot. You're not playing on the 100-degree days are gone. Why, you know, with the players that you have, some of the starters you look at and say, and there are people that will say, why are they starting? But for the backups, those guys need to be in the games earlier than late in the games when somebody gets hurt. Why aren't they playing to that level? They play like they're tired in the fourth quarter. Why is that?
All fair questions. The Longhorns trying to analyze through the bye week. We will talk in the next hour to our friend Chip Brown from Horns 24/7. His thoughts on the Longhorns at the break and what the goals are through this off week and getting ready for the Baylor Bears.
Do you remember, E, when you told me, you know, you were the one who told me for years, when Alabama's rolling, they roll. They are there for four quarters. So if you miss a step for 2 minutes and you're on defense of opposing team with them, they'll kill you with the special teams, or somebody will make a play offensively or defensively. You have to be there with Nick Saban teams all the way to the very end. That's what they'll give you. And that's what I was expecting for some of the play calling here. You can go three or four series and you're three and outs. Where's that special play at in the fourth?
Well, that's the idea through the bye week. We'll talk about it with Chip later on. We'll also get your hot or not topics for the end of the hour and take your buck hunts and buck offs. Astros and Braves, a win away from the World Series. We'll recap the Astros' big win at Fenway Park yesterday. How about Framber Valdez stepping up in a big spot? And we'll talk about what we saw yesterday. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Talking earlier about the F1 race this weekend and the the tremendous championship pursuit it's been between Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton. They'll be on the track at COTA on this weekend. Of course, the race on Sunday. I was informed by a friend of mine that the Miami race is on the schedule for next year, Buck. May 8th,
okay.
May 8th of 2022. And then, of course, the Austin race at COTA will be again next October on the 2022 F1 calendar as we gear up for F1 2021 this weekend with what is expected to be a packed house out at Circuit of the Americas. Buck on to that.
Let us know if they're building a new track in the Miami area or they doing the city, through the city and the outskirts.
Ooh, those downtown races?
Yeah.
Those cars are streaking through the city streets.
Oh, yeah.
Those are always crazy.
Streaking down the beach.
Well, I would say, now that F1 is here, hopefully you've watched it, but the Netflix series that went behind the scenes with F1,
mm-hmm.
Man, that is really, really good television. If you want to get to know, you know, what that sport is all about and the teams,
money.
And the drivers and the money involved and how how competitive it is, with the billions of dollars spent. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you'll get to know intimately, the drivers and the teams and the politics and the drama that go on behind the scenes there, and you'll understand what's going on at COTA this weekend and what a big deal it is on a global level, for sure. We've also got the Buck on for Yordan Alvarez and the Astros. How about the win yesterday for Houston?
He is peppering the green monster now.
Well, he was just aggressive with Chris Sale, and he swung at the first pitch each time. I mean, he was not going to let Chris Sale get deep into a count with him. First pitch he saw was a 94-mile-an-hour fastball off the plate away, and he drove it over the green monster opposite field, which was impressive. Chris Sale afterwards said, man, that guy's got some power, to say the least. He also ripped a single off the wall, and the biggest hit I thought he had was the third hit he had off of Chris Sale, which put the Astros up 3-0. It was 1-0. Both pitchers, Sale and Framber, were just cruising and pitching great. Sale did give up the home run to Yordan in the second, but that was it. So it's 1-0 into the middle of the ball game, and it was tough and tight. And the Astros led off in the sixth with Altuve. He got on, and then they had two on, and then here came Alvarez to drive in both runs. And that was huge for Framber Valdez to calm down and get a 3-run lead. And then they just played add-on to that once they got into that Red Sox bullpen. And that was big, Buck, because that allowed Dusty Baker just to stick with Framber. And mm-hmm. Framber had a lead. They had a cushion. We've talked about the Astros hadn't had a pitcher get through the third inning yet in that series, and so they had just overused their bullpen to get to Game 5. And for Framber to go 8 full innings, they only had to use Ryan Stanek in the ninth. And now they get a day off today before headed back to Houston for Game 6 tomorrow night. You have a fresh staff, which is huge. Because literally, with a 3-1, 3-2 lead now, Dusty can treat Game 6 like Game 7 almost.
How's he managing games?
Well, I didn't love that he had a quick hook on Framber in Game 1 that the Astros ended up winning. I didn't like that because I didn't think Framber was pitching poorly in Game 1. Jose Altuve made an error that really hurt Framber in that first start. And, an easy ground ball, a play he needs to make.
Right.
And that led to a 3-run inning. But I did not think Framber was pitching poorly in that game. But obviously they had the metrics and they go to the bullpen in the third inning of Game 1 of a series, that's going to really – and then when the Astros knew you're coming back to the next day with a rookie, Luis Garcia, man, you're thinking, oh, geez. And that's really, to me, what led to the tailspin for the Astros. They ended up getting bombed in Game 2, bombed in Game 3, and it was that Game 4 win the other night that really righted the ship. And the hero of that, man, if the Astros want to win this series, that Game 4, when Zach Greinke gave up the early home run and Zach was terrible – it was Christian Javier who came out of the Astros bullpen, the right-hander, and gave them length, gave them 4 or 5 really good innings, which allowed them to stay in the ball game. It was just 2-1 in the eighth when Altuve hit the homer to tie it, and then when you think of a pivot point in a series, I know Red Sox fans are still mad about the ninth inning and the non-strike call to Jason Castro. That would have been the end of the inning. It would have been 2-2 going to the bottom of the ninth. Instead, the umpire, Laz Diaz, missed the call like he missed a lot of calls that night. And Castro hit the next ball up the middle for a base hit, scored the run to go ahead, and the Astros going to win that game. That's huge. I mean, that is a pivot point in this series because, it felt like at that moment, I mean, really starting the eighth inning in Game 4, that the Red Sox were in full control of the series. Over the next two innings, the Astros took and got the victory. Now Framber goes 8. They're going back to Houston with the lead. And, just a huge, huge moment in that series came in that ninth inning for the Red Sox. And now Astros in the advantage in a big way, going back to Minute Maid Park and a chance to get back. And remember, they almost went to the World Series a year ago, the Astros, when they played the Rays down 3-0 and came back and forced a Game 7. But as Dusty Baker reminded folks, last year the Astros didn't have Yordan Alvarez in the lineup. He was hurt last year in this spot. He is a huge cog in the middle of that Houston order.
Big stick.
Well, and that's, you know, that's the we talked all year that the Astros have the best offense in baseball, and you see it night by night now because, you know, you start with it, you go right left all the way through the lineup. It's Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, you know, Yordan, Correa, Tucker, Yuli. I mean, it's seven tremendous hitters. Each, you know, goes the other way, right left, which makes it hard on a pitching staff and then a bullpen. So the Astros are now a win away from another World Series, be their third in 5 years if they can win it. And they'll still be hated. They'll be the villains. But it looks like they're going to play the Braves, Buck, if they can get there. Now, they got to get there. They've got to win a game. Red Sox still have
Braves
every opportunity.
Braves got some scrappers.
Yeah, and this Braves team is becoming, talking about a buck on of a team. Remember, the Braves were 52-55 at one point this year after 105 games or 107 games. They're under 500.
Then they lost their leader, right?
Yeah, Ronald Acuna, the young star, got hurt. Blew his knee out, and then that outfield incident, and lost one of their top pitchers in Mike Soroka. But here they are. The scrappers is a good way to put it. You know, Freddie Freeman's their best player, but Eddie Rosario's having a great series here. This is an 88-win Braves team that has a 110-win Dodger team absolutely on their ropes right now.
Rosario came into the picture in the regular season last year, right, where he got a bunch of hits?
Yes, and he's gotten hot at the right time. I mean, he's just one of those, you know, scrappy guys that is getting hot at the right time for the Braves, and he's got 2 4-hit games in the series against the Dodgers. He's just in a tree right now. You add Freddie Freeman to that, and everything they do with that lineup, they're a win away too. Could be Braves Astros, but still a lot of baseball.
Zay,
to be
would
played.
You stand up? I mean, you had a chance to see the Piano Man. Would you stand out at Coda for that one? Is that your kind of music?
It's not my kind of style.
No.
Nah.
I'd go.
I'd love to see the Piano Man. Like I said, I'm old school Piano Man, Jackson Brown. I'd love to go see stuff like that. Ticket is hard to come by, brothers, and it really is.
Certainly is. Somebody said, E, on your walk to Dallas, says, on this promise to walk to Arlington last 22 years seems pretty one-sided. Shouldn't Jerry Jones have some skin in the game?
Maybe we'll try that.
Maybe $1,000 to your favorite charity or something if it doesn't work. Well, no, I can't hold Jerry Jones accountable because it wasn't a bet. It was a promise. I made the promise. Jerry had no part of it. I just didn't have any
belief. Jerry's not going to give up anything.
It was all based on my lack of belief in Jerry Jones as a general manager.
He'll give up one of those $50 pizzas.
And remember, this was 1999. They had won the Super Bowl 4 years previously. They'd won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. And then the Jerry and Jimmy breakup. It was pretty clear to me at that time that, you know, Jerry was not fit and capable of being a high-level general manager in pro football and was making dumb decision after dumb decision trying to prove that, you know, he could be a general manager, which led to the promise that as long as he's GM, they'll never get back to and win a Super Bowl. And that's been accurate for 22 years, but, you know, kind of seems like maybe 2 decades plus later they have a team that's capable of it. But can I hedge a little bit, Buck, that I don't even think he's really the general manager anymore? It's really his son.
I think his son is running everything.
Steven's pretty much running the show. But
Jerry's writing checks.
And running companies.
And running companies all over the world.
To my discredit, if you go to the website, DallasCowboys.com. It still says Jerry Jones, owner, president, general manager.
Lord and owner.
Lord, everything.
Yes.
So even though I do think on the day-to-day, it's Stephen Jones who's, you know, along with Will McClay and the scouting staff that get the lion's share of the credit for the roster that's been built. You know, if you watched Hard Knocks this year, Jerry's involved, man. He's in there eating his McDonald's, eating his McGriddle or whatever it is, and, you know, running the team, running the show. And he was, if you watched Hard Knocks.
Watch that bread, Jerry, watch that bread.
And it's funny, if you go back and watch Hard Knocks now, it was kind of laughable that Jerry was talking about Super Bowl and championships, and well, here they are. 5-1.
I've been eating the
salty group.
I've been eating the McDonald's bacon and just eggs. I don't take because I'm not a pancake eater. So, and they're telling me you're allowed to have some eggs and
some proteins.
Yes, eggs and the bacon, but not the bread. No egg McMuffin. None of that stuff.
Maybe you're like, you know, Brad Kellner, BK, our former colleague. He's now you eat fast food like he does.
Well, I don't even call that fast food. I just call
McDonald's?
If I'm just going to eat the eggs and the bacon without the bun, I'm trying to stay away from the buns and all that stuff right now.
It's probably good. Avoid the carbs. Yeah. But anything at McDonald's is fast food. But even if you get the egg.
I still got to have that donut in that burger patty.
At Mighty Fine?
Yes, I got to try that at least one time. I got to go with that once. Zay's already gone with it. He got it when it was when the bun was good. It wasn't like one of those day-old donuts. It was like fresh and ready to go. Was it good, Zay?
Hell yeah, it was good.
Was it?
Yeah.
And you went the milkshake, too. You went the whole 9 yards, right?
Yeah, for sure.
They're trying to deny me the milkshake. They're trying to deny me my my Dairy Queen, too. My banana split blizzard.
They're trying to deny you. The doctors are advising you.
That's just, yes.
To avoid these things.
Yes, that's just.
Probably better for your overall health at your age. And anybody's age, by the way. Zay, you can't do that very often, that whole.
No, I can't. I told you I was moving very slow on Monday.
Were you really? You could feel that?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't. To me, that just doesn't sound good. The sugary of a donut with the meat and the burger. I mean,
somebody's telling me if done right, it's fantastic, right, Zay? If you get it.
Oh, it was crazy. They got bacon on it and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like bonkers.
And bacon goes good with everything, right?
Yes. Bacon's good on anything. And that, like, you put a bacon on a salad, put bacon on a burger, you can put bacon in your cereal if you want. It'd probably be pretty good. But, Zay, is that just like a food taste explosion in your mouth kind of thing with the sugar and the meat and the cheese and the, come on, what's going on there?
Oh, yeah.
I'm
yeah.
just wondering, do I have to stay away from my Raisin Bran? Because I'm a Raisin Bran eating fool. I love the raisins in there.
Put a bunch of sugar on it.
I eat
sugar free.
Whatever. I don't know if it's sugar free. I know it's got some kind of sugar because that little raisin's got a little tin of sugar on it. I love those. I can eat a big bowl of that stuff.
There you go.
Plus, I'm back to drinking. I drink regular milk from whence I came. The old regular milk. What is it? No 2% up in here. I don't like powdered milk because that's what 2% whole milk. That's me all the way. I'm back to that.
It's like mother's milk.
That's mama's milk. Yeah, just about. Whole milk to me is mama's milk. Yes, thank you very much, right. G.
It's cow milk.
Cow milk, you know, yes.
All right, we'll come back. Isaiah Collier leads us through the hot or not topics, things we've missed halfway through the show on this Buck Off Thursday, plus after the top of the hour, reset those headlines. Another loss for the Austin FC last night. Is Deshaun Watson going to be traded? Houston Chronicle reporting that talks are heating up. Could get done. We'll get you the latest
I'm
there.
Still bugging off that dude.
On the Deshaun Watson side of things. And Chip Brown. Our friend Chip will join us coming up just after 8 o'clock. Talk Longhorn football in the bye week. What's he hearing? Changes that could be made or adjustments being made for the Horns to try to get back on track after back-to-back losses. That's all coming. Part of a busy Thursday.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hey, let me ask the question about Dave Roberts, why they're always trying to get rid of him in L.A. I mean, it wasn't his fault Trevor Bauer decided to go donkey punching women all over the place, right? What is it about that guy that they don't like? Do they think he's a bad... It seems like, not majority, but it seems like a lot of folks in the L.A. area and Dodgers fans just don't like that dude. They don't like his managing the way he manages.
Well, I mean, he is
kind of been to a couple World Series and won now, right?
The defending champions, but did not look like it last night as they lost to 6 Brave relief pitchers. They had a 20-game winner on the mound and really were never in that game last night. No, I mean, he'll be a scapegoat. I mean, but you know, when you're managing at a high level, kind of like your guy Aaron Boone, I mean, everything you do is judged and
right.
scrutinized. And Dave Roberts always second-guessed. In L.A., but they're on the ropes now, down 3-1. Felt like they stole the momentum in that series after coming back and finding a way in Game 3, but none of the momentum last night. Hot and not brought to you by the great folks there. Hey, I don't know if you're hot or not on this. We're talking about food on the way to the timeout. How about, I'm a friend, fan of the Bud Light and the Bud Lightskis.
Mm-hmm.
Bud Light is selling an eggnog hard seltzer for the holidays.
Ooh.
Eggnog hard seltzer. I'm going to have to say nay on that. I'm going to say nay. I'll say yay to the Bud Light. I'm not doing the Bud Light eggnog hard seltzer.
I'm an eggnog guy.
You love the eggnog. Well, you're going to have to avoid that
yes.
this holiday season, my friend. You got to avoid Halloween candy and the eggnog.
Yes, but I can have a Thanksgiving that's filled with fatness for myself.
Yeah, just
including greens. The potatoes, the sweet potato pie. I can indulge in a bunch of that if I do the right things leading up to that.
Absolutely.
Unless my body just goes into shock once I start rolling like a lawnmower, it's on. I cut all the grass.
Hey, coming up, we'll talk to Chip Brown from Horns 24/7, the Longhorn Insider. What's going on with the Longhorns during the bye week? Also, his thoughts on Chris Beard and the Texas basketball team as they get set to to start the
sweet potatoes are good for you, right?
Depends. I mean, depends on your ingredients.
Can my candy yams be candied all over?
Yeah. How are you preparing them? Sweet potatoes themselves. You know, your guy Tom Brady never eats the
He eats the skin, doesn't he? He eats all the stuff.
He doesn't. Any, no nightshade ever.
Really, anything that's growing. When was he?
Whatever the he doesn't eat the
eats whatever Giselle tells him to eat.
That's exactly right.
And he likes it.
That's why he's getting younger.
With that smile on his face.
Isaiah Collier is our tremendous, soon-to-be award-winning producer who walks us through topics we've missed halfway through the show each and every morning before 8 o'clock. Zay, what's up?
What up, fellas? So Zion Williamson might have to go on that Bucky Gobble diet plan because...
That sources, knee bothering him?
Yeah, he broke his foot this summer. And people say around New Orleans Pelicans, I guess just around the team, are saying that...
He likes his jambalaya?
Yeah, a little bit too much. Zion is pushing 300 now. Yeah, and the New Orleans Pelicans are a little bit concerned, which is ironic because New Orleans is arguably the best food place in the world.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, he's going to look like a left tackle here shortly.
Yeah, so do the Pelicans really have a problem here, fellas?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, he's a young guy putting a lot of pressure on a bad knee. And now you said broke his foot. Yeah, and that too.
Well, I mean, if he's over 300, I mean, he's a big dude, but, you know.
300 is big now.
Yo, he's only 6'7".
Yeah.
That is left tackle size. There are NFL left tackles, 6'7", 300.
Yeah.
And but they don't jump like he does, right? They don't get off the ground like Zion. Well, I think you kind of, when you saw his body type, you know, coming out of high school even, you thought, okay, that's going to be
He's always going to be pushing, yeah. That's always going to be a problem. Weight will always kind of be a problem with that guy.
Yeah, he's going to have to push away from the in New Orleans, are you kidding me?
That's hard, say.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what do you tell the man? Like,
Stop eating. Etouffees and with jambalayas.
Yeah,
and po' boys and jambalayas and all that stuff.
I will remind you that before you went to sensitivity training, you used to say, put a lock on the refrigerator.
Well, yeah. You mean for those people riding your bicycles all over in my lanes?
Yes.
Why don't you try locking up the refrigerator for a month or two?
Yeah, that's... I'm sure young Zion Williamson can afford like a personal chef, nutritionist, someone to prepare meals for him. To make sure he's staying.
No, his mom is cooking his food.
Well, see, that's a problem.
Yeah, that is the problem. Mama's still cooking that food, those meals.
You're a high-level professional athlete. You know, you can eat when you're retired.
You can be three bills when you're done.
Tom Brady,
when you're playing golf and going fishing.
Right. That's the Tom Brady, J.J. Watt mindset, right? I got plenty of time to do this when I'm done playing. I got a finite number of years to be a professional athlete and perfect my craft and be as good of a player as I can be, so I'm going to focus on these things and I'll eat later.
Yeah, three bills is a lot for that dude. Because they still monitor his knee too, right?
Oh yeah, all his injuries are knee and foot injuries.
It's not good for a big guy.
Are you saying he's fat? Is that what we're doing here?
I didn't know. We didn't say it.
Fat-shaming Zion? Is that happening, Mike Gundy?
We're not doing that. We're not going to say he's heavy.
Husky?
He's bigger than Husky now. If he's three bills, he's past Husky.
Round-shouldered?
Extremely round-shouldered. He's rounder than round.
Yeah. All right, we'll follow that story as the NBA season is underway. All five major American sports playing right now. Pretty cool. We got everything going on. We'll reset all those headlines here coming up. Talk to Chip Brown. We'll talk the Longhorn basketball later in the show. We're busy on a Buck Off Thursday with you here on the Show of the People. Live with you on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We are always streaming live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.